Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla and I am one of the hosts of the podcast, and today I'm introducing a fun interview that I was able to do. I had the privilege of seeing CryptoZoo, which is an animated feature film that premiered at Sundance Film Festival in January. I got to see it at my local Alamo Draft House, sponsored by the Film Club and an anime invasion group, and I was able to interview, after the film, Dash Shaw, the director and writer of the film, and Jane Samborski, his wife, who is the animation director on the film. This film is basically a fantastical feature. It's really interesting. It's basically about these crypto zookeepers who are trying to capture a Baku, which is basically a dream-eating cryptid, and they are trying to decide if basically the zoo is the right thing to do, or maybe it's not, if the creatures, the cryptid, should be hidden or unknown, or if they should be in the public eye. So it's a very interesting film, and I am happy to introduce Dash and Jane to you.
Hi, I'm Dash Shaw. I'm the writer-director of CryptoZoo.
And I'm Jane Samborski. I'm the animation director and a producer on the film CryptoZoo.
And you guys are married.
And we're married, yes.
That's awesome. So I guess the first question is, I know you guys have talked about working together and stuff. One thing specifically I'm interested in is how you guys sort of fused your two art styles, because obviously you're both different creatives that have totally different imaginations. So I'm just curious how that works for you guys.
Well, we're incredibly lucky to have found each other because while we come at things from a very, very different angles, somehow we end up in the same space. You know, I find that Dash has a very zoomed out view of these things and I have a very zoomed in view. We have very different ways of tackling problems. Dash is wonderful at seeing the big picture. He has like really bold drawings. And he's, you know, that's what I mean when I say zoomed out. And then I'm very much a individual problem solving. I like to tinker with things. I like to go in deep. And despite that, we both have this alignment in what we enjoy seeing aesthetically, and we manage, you know, Dash's strengths are my weaknesses, and I hope he thinks that his weaknesses are my strengths.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jane really banished me from computer work on CryptoZoo, and she really helmed so much of the kind of technical parts of this movie. She has a real mathematical mind that I don't have, and an organizational mind that I don't have. And then the kind of painting styles are like, I think it's obvious when you watch the movie that the person who painted a cryptid is different than the person who painted a human figure, like a nude figure at the beginning of the movie. But then that just becomes the look of the movie, is that these two different artists are next to each other. And I'm not gonna give, you know, this artist I love like a style guide and tell them to draw like me. That would be horrible. I know that's how a lot of movies are made, but I just feel like it's better to cast someone to be themselves. And in this case, especially, you know, it's written for Jane to paint those creatures. So,
yeah, Dash is a director, you know, he has a steadiness of vision that I think, you know, he talked about what I brought to the project, and he brings this forward momentum to all of the things that he works on. You know, my lead animator and I joke that part of a director's job is to hold the anxiety for the rest of the team, to know where the project is going. And Dash just has this strength of knowing the destination that is unparalleled.
Thanks.
Do you guys feel like, obviously with this style of animation, which, I mean, I don't know if you can even categorize it as a specific style. It feels like it has a lot of influences, like Fantastic Planet, I would guess, or other French animation, it feels like, to me personally, because that's what I watch. Do you feel like you have a lot of room within this medium to be able to take more risks and kind of do more imaginative things within that?
You know, first, that this is all I know how to do, and also when I started trying to make these things, it was the goal to make kind of limited animation. It wasn't a concession. It was always like, oh, it'd be really cool if if someone made a movie that looked like High School Sinking or Crypto Zoo, and the room for imagination part, I think the only way I can answer that is that, I really tried to say yes to unusual, intuitive ideas, whether they were things that Jane came up with, Emily, John, the composer, the actors, and rather than those ideas getting stamped down in a production line, kind of outside the box thinking was encouraged.
Something else that's really fabulous about this project that was also equally horrible as it went on is that it took so long that, and the team was so small, I was working on the same scene over the course of years. And so I would work and then 9 months would go by and then I'd open it again and be like, oh my God, what was I thinking? But it allows you to get distance from the aesthetic decisions you've made and it allows things to percolate in the back of your head. And it gives you room for invention that you wouldn't get if you had to make the decision on a more traditional production schedule.
Yeah, do you feel like that longer schedule affected any of the writing or the art? Like, were you changing things kind of as you went on, or did you stick with your sort of original plan, or did things get sort of modified as you were creating it?
The way I might sound like a dodge to answer it this way, but it's really true that you can have a sentence written in the script and the sentence doesn't change, but the voice actor changes it, the inflection changes it. And that's true with so many things, like the way someone walks across the room, a background. So while the overall framework did not change that much, it changes dramatically in the execution.
For me, there was no way I could hold the entire film in my head the way Dash does. I said he's zoomed out and he can see the whole film and he sees details, but he's not seeing every minute detail. Whereas I'm going into individual things and seeing the details in that thing and then wiping it out of my brain so I can make room for the next scene. And so there were things I just couldn't think about until I came to them in the process of making the film, just decisions that I didn't even know were going to need to be made. It was really amazing to do the final pass where we were lip syncing and doing the facial performances on all the characters, which happened right at the end. And it was finally then that I understood really who Lauren was. And it was actually a bit of a problem because I animated a couple of scenes before I totally understood her character with all the dialogue. And then I had to go back because I had made her, for lack of a better term, not bitchy enough. She wasn't mean enough, like hard enough. And it just, the longer you spend with characters and in a place, the better you understand it.
So about that character specifically, for me, it was really cool to see this character and the other females in it leading this film and being like just powerful people who share their mind. And what does that mean to you to be able to create a character like that and kind of, have that in the movie?
Well, maybe Jane would have a better answer. But, for me, the part of the goal was that they were that it was more morally complicated, that, these people were doing things that you didn't agree with, and that it was interesting someone that you might think is a Tomb Raider-like person, you see that they're messing up the culture that they're kind of extracting the being from. And them all being women, that was really kind of inspired by Jane's D&D group and just kind of me imagining what that group would be like, especially because when she had that group, it was in Brooklyn and they all, it was like an early social circle for a lot of people where they were coming from all over the world and moving to Brooklyn. And so it was a kind of globetrotting kind of quality.
For me, the most exciting bit of representation in that film is actually Joan, who is maybe a septuagenarian and is still totally having a problematic sexual relationship with a cryptid. And I get excited to see that sort of thing represented. So that for me was a big deal. And also, I came to the realization over the course of making the film that I came to the realization that Lauren was probably LGBTQ, and so that was kind of an exciting realization. Just discovering those characters and Dash does not fall into the trap that many fantasy films do, where they write male characters and put boobs on them. They do all genuinely feel like female characters.
Yeah, I definitely felt that for sure. Cool. So for our last few questions, let's steer a little more towards just general filmmaking for you guys, both being creators. What were some of your like main influences, either to this movie or just to your art style in general or your filmmaking, you know, style?
Well, the first piece of animation that I ever really fell in love with was the film Watership Down, particularly the opening sequence where they retell the myth of Ella Farrar, the origin myth of the rabbits. And my mother wouldn't buy it for me. She made us rent it from the library, and it was on VHS. And I would watch it over and over and over and over until the VHS got crackly, and I finally snapped and broke the library's copy of Watership Down. I like to torture my elementary school friends with it when they came for sleepovers. So that just that single piece of animation definitely started me down the path.
I could name so many, you know, but I really like the first season of Astro Boy by Tezuka, because there you see like a master cartoonist, and he kind of used his comic making skills to make a new, like to make cinema, and it's like a different cinematic language, you know. It's different than live action, and it's different than full, quote unquote, full animation. So I love that. I love Fantastic Planet, of course, and the way the paintings are in of the cryptids in Cryptozoo are particularly inspired by that, and the way sound is in Akira, how like huge and forward the score is in that movie. And that was another one where it was a comic book artist who was directing a movie and really kicked butt. And The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, as kind of independent cinema, Susan Pitt, Asparagus. I could name a million, could name a kajillion of them.
So one of our favorite questions asked people on our podcast is, what was, if you know the answer to this, what was the first movie that you saw in the movie theater?
I'm never going to be able to answer that question. I really, really don't know. My parents were kind of, as might be implied by the library situation, pretty anti-movie theaters and buying things and paying for things. But I have memories of having like the old UBI Works VHSs and, you know, old Popeye, all these old black and white Superman cartoons. And so I guess that I don't have a formative theater memory, but those are my formative viewing memories.
Cool.
Yeah, I was really lucky because my dad is a kind of a cinephile of sort of unusual movies. Like, my parents are hippies, and my dad got kind of into Hong Kong cinema and getting kind of unusual cassette tapes. And so very, very early on, I know I was exposed to lots of things, and it was really like movies as kind of, they were really like genre. My dad was a real genre movie fan, I would say.
Well, what I was going to say is, now that I've had a moment to think, I know I saw movies in the theater when I was younger than this, but the first ones I can really remember are when you and I would go to the midnight movies at the Bird. There used to be a series of midnight movies at our, it wasn't an art house theater, but it's just this absolutely gorgeous movie palace that's in Richmond, Virginia. And we would line up, and it was like the only reason my mom would let me stay out that late. And Dash was my boyfriend in high school, and we would go, and we would see, you know, a weird softcore porn in 3D called The Stewardesses or something like that. And I remember doing that with you and how much I loved that.
That's beautiful.
And just lastly, what kind of stuff are you guys looking forward to, you know, creating together or that you have coming up on the horizon, or maybe you're just, you know, working on your books or whatever?
I just finished this book called Discipline from the New York Review of Comics. That's very different than Cryptozoo, but they kind of were both finished around the same time. So I have to mention that. And, you know, I'm trying to get another one together. I hope it won't take another 5 years. It probably will, though, but it's at the beginning kind of writing and storyboarding stages.
You know, we have a lot of irons in the fire that we're hoping will will ignite into a new blaze. But for me, the greatest joy is just being in the middle of a project and to solve the problems that are in front of me on any given day. And so that's what I'm most looking forward to in the future.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
It was great. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.